It's time now for Spears on Sports with John Spears, presented by M&M Carnage. And now, here's Johnny.
I hope you had a great weekend. Welcome in Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Carnage. John Spears in a lonely studio. Tony Burke, the streak is over, Scoots.
What am I, chopped liver?
He's not
I'm here.
Well, I'm in the studio. You're not. You're in the producer's chair.
Good point.
It is Monday, April 15th. I guess Tony's still doing his taxes. You make that kind of money, it takes you a while.
It does.
It is tax day, so if you haven't, you'd better. If you are having to pay, I guess you can still file an extension. And if you're getting back money, I don't know why you haven't done them already. Tax day, it's also Jackie Robinson Day. I'm watching the Red Sox and the Guardians today. And everybody's wearing number 42. Don't freak out. It's okay. But everybody wears number 42 today in honor of Jackie Robinson Day. Red Sox Cleveland scoreless in the bottom of the third in Fenway. It is Patriots Day in Boston. That is a holiday. Everything's closed in Boston for the marathon. And then the Red Sox always play at 11 o'clock in the morning. So we'll keep you updated on that score.
Now, do they run the marathon
throughout
already?
The hour. Yes.
Okay.
The marathon has been run now. Got somebody like, well, not like me, somebody like you would still be out there running.
Oh, yeah.
Probably in about the fourth or fifth inning. But we already have a winner, a male winner and a female winner. So.
Oh, we haven't heard any news from it. So that's good.
I don't pay attention to it. By the way, have you seen the movie Patriots Day?
Nope.
I knew the answer before I even asked the question. Great movie. Mark Wahlberg, John Goodman, Kevin Bacon is great as an FBI agent chasing down the Boston Marathon bombers.
You know what? I have
great.
Seen that. Yeah, I've seen that.
What?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Well, you must not have thought it was as great as I did. I thought it was great.
I needed to know the plot first.
J.K. Simmons is the police chief in a small town where they eventually find.
So when did this come out?
A few years back, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. Because the bombings were, what, 2013?
I'd have to look it up. I don't do research for the show. You know that by now.
I do.
M&M Carnage Hotline is open, however, 384-1450, 502-384-1450 to join in on the conversation. Thornton's text line open as well, 502-414-1450. Get your text into that number, 414-1450, and sign up for Thornton's Refreshing Rewards. Receive 25% off. My God. It's Monday.
Yep.
Receive 25 cents off per gallon. See, that cents and that per are too close.
Mm-hmm.
So I turn them around. Plus, great weekly fuel offers you can't pass up. Download the app at the App Store or on Google Play today. Don't forget all fountain drinks, Fizz Freeze, 32 ounces or smaller, still just 89 cents at all area Thornton's locations. So enjoy your favorite fountain drink. I didn't get one today, and Tony's not here. Do you have a cup?
I do.
Shake it, baby. No, not that. Shake the cup.
I'm shaking the cup.
When are we going to be on YouTube?
I don't know. Maybe
the cameras
any day.
Are all set up.
You've Maybe got any a, day now.
You've got a big old monitor in front of you now to, I guess, adjust things, make sure we're all, you know, decent. I wore a t-shirt today. I knew they weren't going to put it in over the weekend.
I dress nice just in case.
You dress nice because you have to go to your real job after this. So hit me up on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Well, Mark Pope, the introductory press conference / pep rally was yesterday at 4:30-ish in Rupp Arena. I did not go, in case you were wondering. I was too busy watching Scottie Scheffler for birdie here on number 13.
And every other hole.
It was fun. And look, I don't know if you get that kind of a crowd anywhere else. Rupp Arena was packed. It was free. A lot of people save up all years for those free concerts at the fair, as Tony used to say. But everybody was there. And the 96 team showed up, including Jeff Shepard. There were shots at Cal, which I thought were interesting. They were quiet shots. Mm-hmm. They were sort of BBs. They weren't really bullets. The Maui thing, Mark Pope wants to go to Maui. Now, maybe he just wants to take his wife and four daughters on vacation that week, but he wants to go to Maui. Multiple defenses were mentioned. Oh, we're going to play multiple defenses. Another little bit of a shot at Cal, who would never play a zone, and when he did, he got out of it very quickly. He wants to play St. John's. Rick Pitino has, by the way, accepted this morning that offer.
Okay.
A home and home. He wants a home and home. Now, to be fair, his home is not the little St. John's wherever they play in their bad home games. It would be Madison Square Garden. But he wants Rupp Arena and Madison Square Garden. I think it's a great idea. He said, we're here to win banners. Didn't talk about putting guys in the NBA. Didn't talk about the billions of dollars that former UK players are making in the NBA. It was supposed to feel like a homecoming. I think that's exactly what they got yesterday, Scooter.
Yeah, for sure. And I was telling you before we came on, it's really easy to say all the right things, especially in an environment like this when everybody's all jacked up. And
yeah.
So hats off to him for knowing exactly what the crowd wanted to hear, because he touched on all the points, I think.
Pat Kelsey killed it at his introductory press conference, and Mark Pope just did the same yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was more of a pep rally than a press conference. After the rally, they did allow the media people to actually ask questions. Yeah. So it was, I guess it was both. But it was more of a pep rally. People lined up. People showed up. It was a beautiful day. You could have been outside doing anything else. You could have been home watching the Masters. There were a lot of things going on yesterday that could have kept people away, but they did show up. I thought it was cool to bring the bus into Rupp Arena and the 96 team gets off of it slowly. Pope's the last one off. He's carrying the 96 championship trophy. It's a lot of theater here. Got to get players. DJ Wagner this morning officially put his name in the transfer portal. Boogie Fland has decommitted, has asked out of his letter of intent. He wants to reopen his recruiting. But we knew all this was going to come about. Big Z's in the portal. He's meeting with Pope today to discuss maybe coming back to Kentucky. DJ Wagner has said he may go to the NBA. He's fully in the portal. However, he will meet with Mark Pope to see what he has to say as well. Can Mark Pope keep some of these guys that are not going to go to the pros, including the big one, Reed Sheppard, which everybody wants to know? You and I disagree. I think he's gone.
I think he's back.
You think he's back in Lexington wearing the blue for at least one more year?
How could Reed, and I'm not saying that he did watch, but how could he watch that yesterday?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he watched.
And hear the crowd pop when Pope made that sly little joke about being a Sheppard. I mean, how could you not want to come back for that?
It's not about wanting to come back. It's about, do I want to come back at the expense of not getting to my second NBA contract 1 year earlier? That's what it's all about. I mean, you can talk about NIL money and, oh, he's going to make as much this year in NIL money, if not more. He'll make more in NIL money than he would in his first year of the NBA contract. Well, that's not what it's about. It's about getting to that second contract, getting to those max deals, those super max deals that have led to the billions that these UK players have signed for. And that's what it's all about financially. Not that the Sheppard family needs money, but Reed Sheppard, I'm sure, would love to get to that contract as soon as he can.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that, but I'm going to go back to a phrase that I've used a lot throughout the year, is the fact that most guys dream about playing for the NBA when they're young. Reed Sheppard dreamt about playing for Kentucky.
You're right.
So I just think it's going to be one more year of Reed Sheppard.
You are correct about that, no question about it.
And he knows he would be a hero.
He's already a hero, though. If he goes pro tomorrow, then he can come back a hero. Even though in his 1 year they lost to Oakland in the first round of the NCAA tournament, he didn't get a tournament win, he's still a hero.
I would just love to see
in this state, because he's homegrown.
I would love to see him and Travis Perry play together.
Me too.
I just think if Reed leaves, that's going to put just ridiculous pressure on Travis Perry to come in and be Reed Sheppard. So I think if you're a Kentucky fan, you'd want to avoid that.
I think if you're a Kentucky fan, you hope that Mark Pope gets enough guys either out of the portal or guys that hang in the recruiting with him or guys from BYU, whatever he gets, that Travis Perry doesn't have to be that guy next year.
Yeah.
That's what you hope. If Travis Perry has to be that guy, Kentucky might be in trouble next year.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he's not good. He's a very good player. State champion, he can play. But is he Reed Sheppard? No, he's not Reed Sheppard.
How cool of a moment was that for Travis?
That
Perry
was awesome.
Yesterday.
Called him out. He and his family are sitting there. Obviously, they had special seats set aside for them.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool for him. And then he interviewed afterward, and he said all the right things. Well, you know, I'm going to have to look at everything, but as of now, I'm committed. As you know, that hasn't changed. But he's, you know, he's a guy that's going to have to keep his options open too. What if Mark Pope brings a couple guys from BYU that play his position?
Yeah,
I mean, you never know here. The 96 team, it was cool to see those guys. Tony, Rex Chapman, who was not obviously not on the 96 team, I didn't know if he would ever be invited back to campus.
That was Rex, wasn't it?
He got off the bus with all of them.
In the glasses?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was Rex.
And he got an unbelievable ovation, which, you know, Mitch Barnhart got an unbelievable ovation. And we're not going to harp on these horrible, horrible swimming allegations, which are just obscenely bad. But, you know, you wondered what the reaction for Mitch Barnhart was going to be. It was really good. You wondered when Mark Pope brought up Rick Pitino. Huge ovation. Huge cheer. And Mark Pope and Rick Pitino have had a love fest for the last 72 hours. Because Pope has said, he made me who I am, and I am the head coach of Kentucky, and I want to win banners just like he did, which got the crowd up and pumped. And Rick Pitino has said, hey, look, he's a winner. He's an X and O guy. He's got DNA, winning DNA. He's the right guy for the job. And if he needs NIL money, I'll write the check myself. I'm sure St. John's loved hearing that. Oh, really? Really, Rick? How about sending a little bit our way to get some players? It sounds like they're going to play each other. He's going to be back in Rupp Arena, it sounds like, which will be awesome. And I think at this point now, he would get a huge ovation.
Yeah, I do too.
The point was brought up on Twitter about having the St. John's come to UK in the 25-26 season so they could celebrate the 96 30-year anniversary. That's a great idea. Time heals. I'm not going to say all wounds, Scooter, because it doesn't. You and I will always be bitter rivals. But time heals a lot of wounds. And the Rick Pitino thing, there are always going to be fans that won't forget he went to Louisville.
Yeah. That's true.
He didn't go to Louisville. He went to the Celtics.
And then
when he needed a job, he went to Louisville.
Here's the thing with this whole press conference thing yesterday, and I brought this up on Friday, the fact that if you were to poll Kentucky fans, I think majority of them would have taken Rick Pitino over Mark Pope.
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is, if that is any other coach yesterday at Rupp Arena, it doesn't come off the same way. Their crowd's not going to get up like that for Scott Drew. They wouldn't have got up like that for Danny Hurley, I can't imagine. It had to be one of their own. And having this whole weekend to think about things, it really does – it has become more clear to me that it had to be Mark Pope. Just had to be.
Well, if it's Scott Drew or Danny Hurley or anybody else, they're not in Rupp Arena yesterday. They're in a small room over at Memorial Coliseum having a press conference without fans. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of it.
I mean, they could have done this thing at Kroger Field, and it still would have sold out.
But it was Mark Pope, a captain on the championship team, who, by the way, none of that matters if he doesn't come in here and win some games. I mean, let's be honest. Tony said it, I think, on Friday. Doesn't matter who it is. The name does not matter. The name on the jersey has to win some games. Doesn't matter who the coach is. And Mark Pope acknowledged that yesterday. He seems like he's taking it on full force, pressure. Nope. Hey, I understand it. I understand the job here, and he should. He's been through it. Utah Valley is a far cry from Rupp Arena. BYU, although I was there this year, and it's a wonderful facility and a gorgeous campus, and he had some really good players. And, again, the three-point thing, they shot three-pointers like crazy. They run a very – unique but effective offense. It's still just BYU. I don't want to disrespect the Big 12 because I don't. I think it might have been the best conference in the country this year. And I don't want to disrespect BYU, but it's not Kentucky. The fans there are not like Kentucky fans. So just like anybody else in this program, Cal was beloved for 10 years. He was not beloved for 5 years. When you're winning, you're beloved.
If we learned anything yesterday, and Coach Pope mentioned it a number of times, there isn't a fan base in the country that's like Kentucky fans. I mean, that scene yesterday was absolutely incredible. Yeah. I mean, it was like they were celebrating a championship.
And the people
for a coaching press conference.
The people that got turned away, because they had to turn people away, mm-hmm. just stayed outside and waited until it was over and then milled around inside afterward. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. His family looked excited to be there. Tom Leach looked excited that he was there. Texter says, cool to see Rupp Pack like it was. Probably be the last time you see that for a while. I'm guessing the place will be half full by midseason when the team is in the middle of the lower half in the SEC standings.
Wow.
Wow.
Pessimistic much?
Shot.
I don't know how you can watch that yesterday and still have a pessimistic attitude.
Well, I just don't, again, and you got to wait and see who he gets. You got to wait and see who he gets in there because, you know, win, everything's hunky-dory. Lose, ask Cal what happens if you lose. Ask Cal what happens when you lose to Oakland and St. Peter's. Even though you won at Auburn and you won at Tennessee.
Cal doesn't want to relive that.
No. I think this is a win-win for both, Arkansas and Kentucky. I think it's a win-win for both. Mm-hmm. And Arkansas's program immediately gets credibility by bringing in a Hall of Fame championship-winning coach. Simple as that. Automatic credibility. I don't know if DJ Wagner is wearing red next year. I don't know if Aaron Bradshaw is wearing red, Justin Edwards. Any of these guys are wearing Arkansas. They're calling the Hogs with Cal next year. I don't know. But he's going to bring in, you know, does Boogie Flan go there? Does, I can't pronounce his name, say it with me.
Jaden Quaintance.
Boy, wow. I don't know if he ends up at Arkansas.
Rumors is he's visiting Louisville.
Who knows? Who knows where any of these guys end up? Cal will bring in a great class. He just will. It's what he does. Believe me, it's not nearly as much pressure to win at Arkansas. Eric Musselman didn't win this year, and he got paid a lot of money to go to USC. I mean, get out of town, go to USC. So fun day yesterday for the fan base, that's for sure. We'll see if it translates to wins on the court or when and if it translates to wins. How patient is this fan base going to be after the last 4 years? It feels like they don't want to be patient. They got their guy in there now. He's our guy, right? He's our guy. He's got to win. He's going to win. What happens if Kentucky wins 20-10 next year? And bows out in the second round of the tournament.
I do think they will be.
We'll wait and see.
I do think they'll be more patient with him just because he is one of their own. But
well, you have to
be still patient. It's still going to be a short leash.
You know, it was a short leash for Billy Gillespie, mm-hmm. 2 years. I think in the day of the portal, in the era of the transfer portal, ask Kenny Payne. You don't get 4 years anymore. You used to get 4 years. You don't anymore. You get a couple, maybe three, and if you don't turn it around, then we're going a different direction.
Yep.
All right, we'll take a break. Masters was great, fun, but is Scottie Scheffler too boring? We'll talk about that. NBA regular season is over. Reds embarrassed the White Sox over the weekend as well. All that and more. Spears on Sports presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. Welcome back. Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears, Scooter Dingus on this Monday, avoiding disaster over here in the studio. Scooter comes over, and all of a sudden the table breaks. If it went any further, I was going to be trapped underneath.
You would have.
My legs were going to be trapped underneath it.
We'd had to call fire rescue.
Oh, my God. M&M Cartage hotline's open, 502-384-1450 to join in on the conversation. 384-1450. Thornton's text line open as well. 502-414-1450. That last text I read, by the way, was Arizona, my Arizona guy. He had also texted earlier in the week that my Rory bet was done. Well, guess what? I bet on Scheffler.
What'd
too.
You bet on Rory?
10 on Rory.
To win?
Yeah.
Ooh.
10 on Rory and 20 on Scheffler. So Scheffler was 4-1. Cash that out today for a Hunsky.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching. By the way, the Big X golf cart is back. This year's card features Park Mammoth, Old Capitol Golf Club, Elk Run, Valley View, Wooded View, Taylorsville Country Club, and Christmas Lake in Santa Claus, Indiana. Did you hear that?
I did.
The table just moved again. I've got to get out from under this.
Get your hands off it.
You can play all those great courses for under $25 a round with the Big X Sports Radio golf card. Get your stay at BigXSportsRadio.com or call 812-725-1457. Get your Big X golf card today. We played Valley View last Monday. It was great.
It was awesome. Yeah.
And when are we going to Park Mammoth to do the show?
That's a great question. I think June sometime.
Yeah, I'm ready. Somebody tell the boss here. All right, so Scottie Scheffler wins his second Masters yesterday by four shots. It didn't feel like a four-shot win for a long time, but he just hits every fairway. And he struggled early with distance, but he hits every fairway. He's the best iron shot player in the world, and he's learned how to putt lately. That's hard to beat. 11 under yesterday, Lucas Oberg, Ludvig Oberg, was 7 under. Tommy Fleetwood, Max Homa, and Colin Morikawa finished 4 under. What do all of those guys have in common? They are not LIV golf players. Hey, DeChambeau had a 65, I think, on Thursday, but he came back quickly.
Dude stinks. By the way, did you see
his... Why do you have to wear your outfits?
Did you see his drive on 17 on Friday? It was 395 yards?
Yes.
Incredible.
Yes. If he had an iron game at all,
mm-hmm. he'd be really good.
He'd be almost unbeatable. But Scottie Scheffler right now is unbeatable. Now, we're not going to use the T word because there's only one T, just like there's only one J. There's only one Tiger. There's only one Jack. But right now, Scottie Scheffler's dominant. He won the Players. He's won three of his last four tournaments, and he lost the other in a playoff. That is dominant golf. But why do we not talk about Scottie Scheffler in more lauding terms? Because he's boring. He doesn't smile. He's got the beard now, which hides everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's a man of faith, a man of family. His wife was back in Texas, ready to go into labor at any moment. He said he would have walked off the course if he had gotten the call. Okay, here's my question. And I'm stealing this a little bit from a show earlier today, a national show. If your wife calls you to say, hey, I'm going into labor, and you're on the 10th hole, 11th hole, you got a two-shot lead for a green jacket, are you leaving the course right away? Scoots?
If it's your first.
First child.
If it's your first, like what Scottie was going through, yes, probably.
What if it's your first green jacket and your second child?
Then I'm probably hanging out.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to be, yeah. I'll be there a couple hours.
First of all, nobody's pointed this out. I don't think she would text him or call him.
Maybe
I really
not.
Don't. I'm sure they have a support system back in Texas, whether it's her family, his family, doctors, nurses, everybody's ready. Everybody's on call here. She might have siblings help. If her husband is 9 under, 2-shot lead with 7 to play, she ain't calling him. As now, if there are complications, that's different. Somebody else might call him. But if she's just going to have the baby and everything's fine, we're not calling until he's done. And we're calling after he makes that last putt and saying, you're not going to make it. The baby's going to be born, or the baby has been born, but you might want to go ahead and leave the course and get that private jet and come on home. Mm-hmm. But she's not going to spoil. And that's, look, this is both ways. That's what a good wife would do. She's not going to spoil his second green jacket here. He's won two in the last 3 years now. And he's dominant. He birdied 8, 9, 10, 13, 14, 16.
Yeah, I was at work yesterday keeping a close eye on it, and I was getting ready to leave. It was about 4 o'clock. I looked at the scoreboard, and there were 4 guys tied at 6 under.
Yeah.
And so I sprinted to the back, clock out. I was like, I've got to get home to see the rest of this tournament. I get home. Scottie's at 9 under. Everyone else is at, like, 5 under. I'm like, what the hell just happened here?
Morikawa and Oberg both hit it in the water on 11 on their second shot. He just – nothing phases him. Nothing phases Scottie Scheffler. He just goes out and plays golf. The footwork is a little a little unnatural.
Weird. It is weird.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
It is kind of odd.
Well, they told you on the broadcast, do not try that at home.
No.
I should have heeded that advice because I tried it and it failed miserably. I don't know how he does
that. Did not work, huh?
No.
But every drive goes right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every time.
I was going to tell you this earlier before we came on, but me and my roommate were talking about it last night, and if I could have one out-of-body experience and put myself in the shoes of any athlete in the world doing their craft, for me it would be Scottie Scheffler. I mean, he makes the game of golf look so easy, and Augusta's not a place where golf is supposed to look easy, but that's how he made it look yesterday. I cannot imagine being him playing golf and just how fun that is.
He birdies 8, which is a par 5. Oberg on 9, right ahead of him, makes an unbelievable left-turning putt to get back within 1. And what's Scotty do? He hits one up there that looks like it's going in and just turned at the last second, and he had a 4-inch putt for birdie to regain that 2-shot lead. He birdies 10, puts it, 8 feet from the hole. He's a machine. He's a machine. It's a different kind of game, but the dominance is Tiger-esque.
Yeah.
Now, there's no reason to believe with the amount of competition out there these days that he's going to be able to keep it going the way Tiger did for so long. But right now, it is a mismatch on the course.
Yeah.
It's a mismatch. Vern Lundquist, final performance on 16 there. He's great as always. I'm going to miss Vern.
That handshake with Tiger was so awkward.
He had the cane. He had to move the cane.
You couldn't see Vern at all. You just saw his hand reaching around the tree.
Hello, Tiger. I'll miss that. Jim Nance was great as always. I always like to not critique, but listen to the announcers and the big moments. And Jim Nance is always great.
He is, yeah.
Up next, PGA. By the way, the LIV guys. Why you got to wear a uniform? Now, the one that did not was Brooks Koepka. He went Nike shirt, Nike hat. Plain and simple. But Koepka, Mickelson, not Koepka, DeChambeau, Mickelson, Cam Smith, they all had their team colors on and the weird, I don't know what Bryson had on, an odd-looking skull and crossbones. I don't know what that. And then they all had the little lip. Come on. Have a little respect. For the Masters.
Have you seen the rumors with Rory and Liv?
No. Is it going to come to pass?
Gosh, Joe.
What are they offering him? $10
billion? $850
million
and 2% equity in Liv. How do you turn that down? Especially for a guy like Rory who hasn't been playing great.
Forget the equity because Liv may eventually fold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows what happens? But $850 million?
It's a lot of money.
Are you kidding me? I don't know how anybody turns that down.
That would be the ultimate move for Liv to turn a guy like Rory, who was adamantly against it at the start, for him to flip his mind and get
him
over to Liv.
But the PGA Tour hierarchy did him wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You've watched Full Swing.
Yeah.
He stood up for these guys. He stood up for the tour, and then they go behind his back in effect. And make a deal with Liv? Are you kidding?
Well, and they're still is it? Don't do you find it odd that there still hasn't? That's not tied up at all.
They can't agree. They still can't agree on things.
How are we going to come to an agreement? And then here we are, 4 or 5 months later, and we still don't have anything worked out.
They're trying to make it as amicable as possible, but I think the two sides, especially Greg Norman, they still hate each other. They still have, both tours think the other one's trying to get something over on them.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as that's going on, it's going to be really hard to reach a final agreement.
Did you make anything out of Greg Norman having to buy his own ticket?
A little petty. A little petty. But that's one of the things. They hate Greg Norman. They do. He never won the Masters, right? Or did he win? No, he lost to Fuzzy. He never won the Masters. He blew a 6-shot. He lost to Faldo when he blew a 6-shot lead on a Sunday, the biggest lead ever blown on a Sunday.
Yeah, but Fred Couples said there was 13 guys, LIV guys, in the tournament. Not one of them could have given him a ticket.
Well, that's a good point. Perhaps they were instructed not to. Perhaps if you're going to give one of your tickets to Mr. Norman, perhaps we will pull back our invitation to you. You never know.
Yeah.
Because the Masters is not the PGA. It is not the Royal and Ancient. The Masters is its own entity, and maybe they are a little, what's the word? conceited, a little too full of themselves, mm-hmm. but that's who they are, and they do not shy away from it. I remember when sponsors were going to boycott the Masters because they didn't have any female or black members, and you know what the Masters said? Okay, we'll just put it on TV with no commercials. We don't care. So, I mean, they do believe they're above everybody else. Would you make a Jason Day sweater?
It wasn't as wild to me as his pants on Thursday.
It was hard to watch. It was hard to look at. The pants were, too.
He apparently got a stern warning from the Masters.
Well, they asked him to take the sweater off. He did, and his interview was very – he was watching what he said, too, because he said, look, it's the Masters. I have respect for it. They asked me to take it off. Out of respect, I took it off.
Now, he's still PGA, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Out of respect, I took it off. Okay. Why are you wearing it? Why are you wearing those pants on Thursday? They look like MC Hammer, parachute pants. What are you doing? How do you find your tea in those things? Up next, PGA Championship, as far as majors are concerned, May 16th through 19th at our lovely local club, Valhalla.
Your time to shine, Louisville.
Time to shine. I hopefully will be there doing the show that week. Early odds are out, Scoots. Scottie Scheffler, 4-1.
Wow.
That's what he was when I made the bet on Wednesday, 4-1. That is a heavy, heavy favorite. You know who the second choice is? Who do you think second choice is, by the way?
I'm going to go Brooks.
Brooks is fifth.
Not Rory, is it?
Rory is 12-1, second choice.
He's second?
He's won there before.
When are we going to learn?
He's won there before. I think that's part of it. He won the PGA at Valhalla. And keep in mind, Vegas puts odds out based on what you're going to bet. And if they know people are going to bet on, just like when they used to know people were going to bet on Tiger Woods, they'd make the odds crazy. When they know people are going to bet on McIlroy, then they don't have to make him 20-1. They can make him 12-1.
What's JT at?
JT is 20-1.
You would like to think he'd have a leg up due to being where he's from, but here's the thing about...
I'm sorry, he's 28-1.
I really like the Masters because I can't remember who said it earlier in the week, but that's the only major they play at the same course. So yes. Every other major is revolved around courses. So think about the guys that have never had the experience playing Valhalla. Like, look at a Scottie Scheffler at 4-1. I wouldn't want to take any part of that. Granted, he's the best golfer in the world, playing the best right now, but he's never played Valhalla.
My guess is, well, now he's having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So his time for the next month is going to be split between golf and home.
Yeah.
No, in fact, I would be surprised if he plays again before the PGA Championship.
Well, the baby's due at the end of the month.
But so. I would not be surprised if he didn't get to Louisville and get a round in on the course. These guys that have the ability to do that, they seem to do it all the time. So Scheffler 4-1, McIlroy 12-1, John Rahm is 14-1, Schauffele 16-1.
There's where my money's going.
Koepka is 18-1, Victor Hovland and Bryson DeChambeau and Oberg are 20-1.
Give me Schauffele.
Then your boy Zalatoris is the next pick.
Man, he was horrible.
Morikawa 28-1. Does that do anything for you?
No. Although he is playing better.
Max Homa 28-1.
Nope. Homa played really well.
Cantlay, Matsuyama, and Joaquin Neiman 33-1.
Nope. Schauffele's the
Spieth 35.
Heck no.
Cameron Smith 40.
Intriguing.
It's a big number. Tommy Fleetwood.
He played well.
Fairway Jesus. 40-1. I like that one. But as far as and Tiger, by the way, boy, he looked miserable.
Yeah.
He just looked miserable. It was cool for the Ohio State, the amateur that got to play with him yesterday.
How about his caddy?
Amateur's
caddy. That would just – he got to shake Tiger Woods' hand.
Hey, you want to be my caddy? Yeah, I'm not doing anything. Oh, by the way, it's Sunday now. We're playing with Tiger. Well, I got to go. I just pooped myself. Phil was not great.
No.
I love the fact that they let all these guys come back and play, like Vijay Singh and Ian Woosnam and guys that are just – their game is not there anymore. But, man, it can make for some really bad golf.
Yeah.
Phil was terrible. JT was terrible. Spieth was terrible
on
Thursday.
It sucked with Tiger because he played so well.
John Rahm
barely
made the cut.
True.
Tiger finished dead last of all the people that made the cut.
Which you would have never guessed that after Friday.
And he won't say this, but I think he was really hurting after those 23 holes he had to play on Friday because of the weather. I think he was in a lot of pain. In fact, the amateur that made the cut that played with him said, and he was talking to Tiger, and Tiger told him he got up at 3:45 in the morning. Because just to get his body ready. He's got to go through whatever he has to go through just to get his body ready to play 18 holes of golf.
It's nuts.
He made it through 72 holes, though.
Yeah.
I give him credit.
Yeah.
And he looked miserable.
I was waiting for that withdrawal.
All right, let's take a break. Talk a little baseball on the other side. Indiana gets a commitment. We'll talk about that. And the WNBA draft is tonight. Are you excited? Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. Welcome back. Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio. Scooter Dingus here as well. Final segment on this Monday.
Woohoo!
Only a 3-day work week for me this week, Scoot.
Lucky dog.
We got Bats baseball early on Wednesday and Thursday. I will be in tomorrow. Tony Burke will join me. The streak is over, but he'll be back in studio tomorrow. He blew it, man. An easy one.
I mean, we were calling him Cal Ripken on Friday, and now here he is.
Now he's Billy Ripken. M&M Cartage hotline's open, 384-1450. Last chance to join in on the conversation. Thornton's text line open as well, 502-414-1450. You can reach the show by text at 414-1450. Some news and notes here. Where do I start? The NFL draft is in 10 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, week from Thursday.
Didn't realize that.
Devontae Smith, the Eagles locked him up today. 3 years, $75 million. He will remain a Philadelphia Eagle wide receiver.
3 years, $75
million? I did not stutter.
Holy smokes.
51 of it, or 53 of it, I think, is guaranteed. So
does that make him the highest paid wide receiver?
No, not even close. Not even close.
I got to do some digging.
Do some digging. WNBA draft tonight. Caitlin Clark going to go number one to the Indiana Fever. Did you see her appearance on Saturday Night Live?
I haven't watched it yet, no. I saw that she was on there.
The jokes were great. The delivery, she's not an actor.
No.
She's not an actor. As boring as Scottie Scheffler is, I think she might be just as boring. Great player. Fun to watch play basketball. Really fun to watch play basketball. In fact, I watched more women's hoops this year than I have my entire life. Probably combined,
yeah,
because it's turned into a great product. I hope they can keep it great next year with people like her gone. But she'll help the WNBA. I don't know how much, but she's got to help ratings. Indiana Fever, almost all their games are going to be on national TV all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
TV speaks. When you have 18 million watch a championship game, 14 million watch a semifinal, they're going to get her on TV.
By the way, they are a perfect example of how one family can move from one city to another. Her boyfriend, Connor McCaffrey, is on staff of the Pacers.
How'd that happen?
Connor's little brother, Patrick, is transferring from Iowa to Butler.
How about that? That's
going to be a
nice little
family affair in Indy.
Whatever. Miles Rice, Scoots?
Yeah. Welcome on.
The Hoosier is out in him today. Washington State, this guy, I don't know, was he a five-star?
I'm not sure. All I can tell
you. He was a highly sought-after recruit back in. How did he end up at Washington State? I'd have to do a little research.
Yeah, that makes two of us.
But as a freshman, and as Scooter mentioned to me before the show, the final ever Pac-12 freshman of the year.
He's going to be a Hoosier.
14.8 points, 3.1 rebounds, 3.8 assists for the guard, who will now be an Indiana Hoosier.
And that helps Indiana at a much-needed position. They need some guard help desperately. A 6'3 point guard coming in will fill that void. So excited to see how he pans out.
And I think Ballo is going to take a
I think we're getting Omar Ballo, too.
He's going to Louisville and Indiana. He's going to visit both. But
Louisville's just for the formalities.
Is that you believe
yeah.
that?
Yeah, he's going to be a Hoosier.
Reds swept the White Sox this week by a combined score of 27-5.
That's how you do it.
The White Sox are
garbage.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Garbage.
Awful. The word is awful. Let me look at the standings while I got it here. The White Sox are 2-13. But I bet them the day they won. They beat the Atlanta Braves. How about that? Whew, that's just bad. 2-13.
Is that the worst record in the league?
It has to be. Nobody else has fewer than 6 wins. Oh, no, wait a minute.
The Marlins.
Rockies are 4-12.
Marlins haven't won 6, have
Marlins
they?
Marlins are 6 and oh, really? I'm sorry, 3-13.
Okay.
You're right. 2 is still the lowest, though. By the way, I bet the Marlins Saturday they beat the Braves also. How about that?
Lucky
what are the odds of that? Oh, my God. The odds are incredible for that. I'll tell you the answer. College baseball, Kentucky is now third in D1 baseball in the rankings.
Incredible.
The top four teams are from the Southeastern Conference. Texas A&M, Alabama, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Vanderbilt is 13th. That's 5. Alabama is 18th. South Carolina is 20th. Georgia's 24th.
Wait, Kentucky's got the best mark in SEC play at 14-1. How are they not above the other SEC schools?
Because they are not named Tennessee or Arkansas. Teams that are every year in the top 10. That's why.
So you're telling. So
keep this in mind. The rest of Kentucky's conference schedule, they got to play all these teams. They haven't played these teams yet.
Right.
You got to keep that in mind. But I think Kentucky's really good. They trailed 7-0 to Auburn in the finale of that series. They could have packed it in, said, we're going to win 2 out of 3 here. They came back and won that game.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. Louisville lost 2 of 3 to 9th-ranked Virginia. Virginia's down to 10th now in D1 baseball rankings.
Tell me those scores again from those games.
Oh, my God. They lost the first game 21-3, something like that. They won 14-10, and they lost 16-7 on Sunday.
Hope you had the over.
It was bark in the park on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know how many errors were committed by the dogs, but 16-7 they lost.
What day did Kelsey throw his first pitch?
That was the win. That was Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah. Brahms were in attendance. I mean, it was a party, man.
By the way, they got a big game tonight.
Louisville and Kentucky tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Patterson Stadium. It is not free. And I don't know how many tickets are still available. But weather looks like it's going to be really good again tomorrow. So get out and if you can get a ticket, get out and watch that.
4 straight days, almost 80 degrees. I'll take that.
I know. It's golf weather, man. Mm-hmm. Now, it's supposed to rain Wednesday and it's supposed to rain Friday.
Leaves golf on Thursday open.
It does leave golf on Thursday. As long as my three favorite words are not in play. Cart path only. Least favorite word. Cart path only, I don't play. NBA season, I mentioned, ended yesterday. The playoffs are ready. The play-in games start tomorrow, believe it or not. Oklahoma City is the top seed in the West. I bet them early in the year to win it all. They're not going to win it all. They're too young. They're not ready. But, man, they're a fun story. And in the West, to be the number one seed, that's pretty impressive. Denver would have been, but they lost one of these late-season games at San Antonio. And they didn't sit anybody. They just lost. It's the NBA. And I say this all the time. All those teams are professional athletes, and nothing is an easy game. It's just like the NFL. There are no easy games. You could be playing the best team in the league, playing the worst team in the league, and Denver proved that kind of, even though San Antonio is not quite the worst team in the league. Detroit is. But Denver proved it. It doesn't matter. If you don't show up, you're going to get beat. Denver's the 2, Minnesota's the 3, Clippers 4, Dallas 5. That's a fun first-round matchup, Clippers-Dallas. Phoenix is 6, and the play-in that starts tomorrow, the Lakers, the 9 seed, will be at New Orleans, the 8 seed. So you get LeBron and AD against Zion. That'll be fun, TNT tomorrow night.
Now, the loser of that's not automatically out, right?
No, I think the loser is out.
Oh, okay.
And then 10, Golden State plays at number 9, Sacramento. Golden State's a slight favorite in that one. Loser of that one's out. Okay? The winner of that one, which would be a 10 or a 9, would then have to play the loser. You're right. The loser of the Lakers-New Orleans game.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then the winner of that Lakers-New Orleans game is just hanging around waiting. And they got to get beat twice, I think.
Now, do both?
So it's advantage New Orleans right off the bat. Seven seed has the, and they should have the advantage.
Do both conferences play tomorrow night?
No. Tomorrow's the Western Conference on TNT. Wednesday, Eastern Conference on ESPN. That'll be Miami at Philly. It's hard to believe some of these teams are playing teams. Mm-hmm. You know, Lakers, Golden State, really? Miami and Philly are playing teams? And Atlanta and Chicago is the 9-10 matchup in Chicago. The five seed in the East, I will give you – I'll tell you what, let's do this. Don't look. Boston's one, New York's two, surprisingly, the Knicks. Milwaukee's three, Cleveland's four. Who's the five seed in the East?
Well, I know it's not the Pacers because they play Milwaukee.
They're the six seed.
That makes them the six. I know this. The Magic.
The Orlando Magic.
Yep.
Now, it was, I think, a three-way tie at the end of the season. And I'm going to look here. Where does it say standings? Standings, standings. Help me out, Scooter. I'm terrible with technology. The Magic, the Pacers, and the Sixers all finished 47-35. They were 5, 6, and 7. The Magic are the five. You know why? Because they won their division.
We still do that?
Isn't that weird? The Magic won the Southeast Division by one game over the Miami Heat. So the Heat fell to the 8th spot, and the Magic are in the 5th spot. That is bizarre.
By the way,
Pacers did not win their division. That's why they're six. And the Sixers didn't win. That's why they're seven.
I'm going to go ahead and say the Pacers did that on purpose because they went 3-1 against Milwaukee this
season. Also put up 157 yesterday, Jeez. And we bet the under.
We did. That was
Remember foolish. That bet I wanted to play? Hey, Scooter, yeah. Let's bet a 10-team under. I think overs went 11-4 yesterday.
How about 2-8 on my parlay?
Well, in your parlay. And they weren't close.
No.
I mean, those overs were over early. Speaking of over early, the show just flies by.
It does.
Back at it tomorrow. Tony Burke will join me in studio. Thanks for listening. Spears on Sports presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X.